Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. You know, I feel like Dorothy. Some of y'all, you know, when we was little, every time the Wizard of Oz came on, everybody gathered around the TV. We loved that movie. And then when we got older, we would call each other, hey, it's on, y'all. And everybody would watch it. And I could see Dorothy, you know, she clutching old Toto. You know, and she clicking them heels. There's no place like home.
Amen.
No place. It's just so good to be back here.
Amen.
At the Church of Christ in Highland Heights.
Amen.
I want you to help me sing just I don't know the whole verse of this song, but God's word will never pass away. God's word will never pass away. God's word will never pass away. And it makes no difference what the people say. God's word will never pass away. Away, God's word will never pass away, and then it makes no difference what the people say. God's word will never pass away. But he's coming back again. He's gone, but he's coming back again. And it makes no difference what the people say. God's word will never pass away. All right. Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen.
You know, in that chapter, you know, we commonly call it Faith's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, well, you go through it, you see all these people who've been inducted by God. That's something. When God puts you in something, that's something.
Yes,
and man can put you in these, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's good. That's good. That's a good achievement. But man did that. But when God puts you in something to be remembered throughout all the generations for your faith, that's a powerful thing. So we're going to just look at one person that's in that Hall of Fame and get a lesson for us today. If you're here today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we just want you to know you are very special people here today. And we're just so excited to have you here. Hopefully we can say something that will pique your interest too. You know, Bo said that today is Evangelism Sunday. Most of the time we hear that, we think of, you know, people that are not members of the church. But something I've come to realize, we need to evangelize ourselves sometimes too. Our folk need to be evangelized. Cause we go through stuff and lose faith, lose heart. We gotta evangelize and bring us back. So it's gonna be like a lesson that's gonna hit both sides of that. It's gonna help us too. So Hebrews chapter 11. At verse 5, the Bible says, by faith. First of all, we got to look at the definition we're going to be working with. Faith. Faith is the assurance. I'm putting it down to for us, common, just breaking it down, common stuff. The assurance, the confidence, the reliance that God is going to do what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
Sometimes we as Christians, we get a little wavering in our faith because we don't have the confidence, the assurance, or relying on God. But Enoch is going to teach us today that you must have this confidence. You must have this assurance. You know, when you got confidence, boy, you walk bold, you walk with your chest stuck out. you feel pretty good. You know, you pull your britches up, so I feel pretty good today. You know, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, you walk down the street, hey, I ain't worrying about nothing. Because you got what? You got confidence. And then when you got the assurance that, look, I got your back. Oh, see, y'all missed that. I got your back. That's what God tells us. I got you. Sometimes we need to have that assurance, that confidence that God got us.
Amen.
No, because see, we're living in a crazy cuckoo world today, y'all. There's some crazy stuff going on. Stuff that don't make no kind of sense. Now, I'm just regular. I don't try to be all proper, y'all. I just talk to where I know we can understand it. I'm just telling you straight. That's just me. You know, since I've been down in the country, people think I'm from there. Because I just talk plain, simple English.
Amen.
Sometimes they say that ain't English, but that's all right. You understand. That's the main thing. But sometimes we need this confidence and assurance because we live in that saying craziness that Paul talked about. He said dangerous times are going to come. Folks going to be lovers of themselves. Folks don't care about you and nobody else. Lord have mercy. You're just doing all kind of crazy stuff and don't care nothing about it. Get locked up one day, get out the next day doing the same old thing. Have no heart, as we would say. Have no heart. Have no feelings towards folk. So sometimes we need that assurance. We need that confidence. And Enoch is going to teach us today in regards to that. So faith, the assurance, the confidence, the reliance that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Boy, that is powerful. God keeps his word. See, the Bible teaches God ain't a man. He ain't going to lie. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I might tell you something today and it'd be something different tomorrow. You too. Don't just be looking at me. You too. That's us. That's human nature. But not God. Bible says, I am the Lord and I change what? Not. God says, I don't change. If I tell you I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it. Oh boy, boy, boy.
Amen.
That's the kind of confidence we got. We know God gonna handle his business. See, we as Christians, that's why we shouldn't be wavering all of, oh, well, woe is us. What's going to happen? They talking about June 1st and I ain't going to get my check. And where's your faith? Where's your confidence? God got this. Hey, the government can shut down. I don't care. I'm going to eat some groceries tomorrow because God got it.
Amen.
David says, I once was young, but now I'm what? I'm old. I understand, David. Growing up here, I was a youngster. I remember walking around down here. Now he said, I ain't never. Ooh, I like that. He said, I ain't never. You know, never means never. He said, I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken or his children see. His children begging for a piece of bread. And we walk around, ooh, child, I got to save up. I can't share. There's nothing wrong with planning for tomorrow. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is being all up in the air, anxiety attacks, and got to go to the doctor to get some medicine to calm you down, as my daddy would say. He didn't say calm. He said calm you down. What you doing in the doctor's office to get some medicine to calm you down when God got it?
Amen.
He's going to teach us, y'all. He said, you got to have this. As the old folks say, you got to have this type of faith.
Amen.
This confidence, this assurance that no matter what, God in charge. We act like sometimes folk is in charge. We do. By the way we live and by the way we act and the way we think. And our children be coming up with these crazy ideas because we don't put it in their head. They've been watching us. So you wonder why they don't have this faith. Well, when they get 18, 19, they gone, grown and gone. I don't mean up out your house. I mean gone. Out in the world, living all kind of ways, because they don't, they saw you. They saw me. And they said, who? If that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want no part of that.
Amen.
Tell the truth, shame the devil. Y'all, you know it's true.
Amen.
This confidence, this assurance, this reliance. Now, how is this type of faith acquired? You know, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing.
What you gonna hear?
God's word.
If God said it,
you know, the old saying is that something,
that's it. He said it. He said, I'm gonna take care of my people. You know,
I think it's in 2 Chronicles. It's right on my head. I forgot it right now. But God told Israel, because Israel was going around doing all kind of crazy stuff. And God said, try me. See, won't I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even handle. It. I'm paraphrasing y'all. He said, but you got to put me to the test. Try me. And guess what? Same God, he ain't changed. Try him.
Amen.
Try him today. Try him. Say, God, I'm going to put all my confidence in you. I know my husband is acting a monkey, but I'm still putting my confidence in you. You're going to help that brother. Amen. And vice versa. Lord, my wife, Lord, every time I go home, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you.
Amen.
Lord, my children is acting like they're cuckoo crazy, but I'm putting my trust in you. I ain't worried about it because you got it. If you did what the wise men say, Proverbs 22 and 7, train them up in the way that they should go. When they get old, it comes back to them. Why? Because you ain't worried about it. You train them, you taught them. Say, God, they're in your hands. And you know God can handle his business. So, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotional thing. So people get caught up in all that stuff. There ain't no pie in the sky. And it's not what I want to do. It's what has God said.
Amen.
Now, let's move a little further. So the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 and 24. Look what the Bible says. Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. See, Enoch was, and then he was not. Some of us missed that. We missed that. He was, then he was not. But he walked with God. We're going to get back to that was not just a second. He walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? That means to have an intimate, devoted, dedicated relationship with God. Because you have faith in him. You have assurance. You have trust. You have confidence. And you can rely on him. Therefore, you walk with him. The Bible says Enoch had this type of relationship with God. Why? Because he had faith. He had the trust. He had the reliance in God. You know, the word Enoch means, his name means to be dedicated. He was dedicated to following God's will. He was dedicated to pleasing God. He was dedicated to love God and live a life for him. And this is the type of faith we must, I didn't say need to, we must have. Continue on, verse 5. We're still on verse 5. The Bible says, by faith Enoch, when he was translated, he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. He was, then he was not because God took him. How does that apply to us? If you're living for God, then the world, people, folk ought to see Jesus and not you.
Amen.
You was, but you was not.
When folks see you by the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you react, they should see Jesus.
Amen.
Paul says, Galatians chapter 20, I mean 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. See, you got to be was,
and then was not. When folk look at you, they shouldn't see a Christian, so-called Christian, walking around saying all kinds of stuff they have no business saying, doing all kinds of things they have no business doing, acting in an unseemly way. Because what? You put yourself on the back burner, and you put Christ out front in your life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, look what Jesus said. For whosoever shall lose his life. In other words, it's all about Jesus in our lives. That's what it should be. That the way we walk, talk, act, as I just stated, it should be about him. Lifting him up in our life. Therefore, you are losing this physical life. You're putting Jesus up front. So when folk talk about you, you ain't talking back. You know, we was little, and somebody said, you so-and-so-and-so, so you're nothing. That should not be our response.
Amen.
Our response should be to pray for them. Child, I wasn't raised like that. My mom and daddy ain't raised no punk, you know. We say, yeah. But we're talking about transformative lifestyle.
Amen.
I'm letting Jesus rule and dictate my life. Because, see, I am, but I'm not. I want Jesus to be our front. Jesus continued to say, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. Think about Jesus, the way he lived. The Bible says he went about doing good. But yet they talked about him. They mistreated him. I'm trying to let them do that to me. I'm going to get them back. Every dog got anything. You know how I always say, same as we say, I got you. I remember that. All these things we say, that's not what Jesus taught. That's not being was and was not. That's not losing your life in order to find it. See, Jesus said some radical things for the people today. They thought, you know, his own folks thought he was crazy. He said, if you lose your life, you're going to find it? What are you talking about? You live for me. Put others before you.
Amen.
Oh boy. Our society don't teach that. Now, child, you get yours. And then we adopt some of that same foolishness. Instead of, let's all rise up together. Let me pull my brother up with me. Now, child, I'm going to get mad. I got mad. You get yours. Jesus said, no. If you lose your life, you're going to find it. But if you find it in this life, you're going to lose it. And think about it. If the world is ever to believe totally that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through him we can find eternal life, it's going to be because they see it in us.
Amen.
Jesus ain't got no more hands on this earth but us. He don't have any more feet on this earth but us. You know, I was reading this thing in an article one day, and this man said, you know what? He was having a religious discussion. He said, you know, if Christians would live like Jesus, there would be no more Muslims. If Christians live like Jesus, there'd be no more Buddhists. He was just going down the line, different religious groups. What he's saying is, folk, their opinion of Jesus is seen in us. I want you to think about that. The way people view Jesus, who are not Christians, followers of Christ, their view or their opinion of him is by what they see in us that profess to be followers of him. Continuing, still in verse 5. By faith, even when he was translated, that he should not see death, he was not found because God translated. But before his translation, he had a testimony that he might please God. Enoch had a testimony. You know what that really means, have a testimony? It means to tell about your test. That marinated session. To tell about your test. You have to go through stuff and deal with stuff with the assurance, with the confidence, the reliance on God that he gonna bring you through. Now you got testimony. You can tell, I remember, God brought me here. And old people say, God, the Lord brought me a mighty long way, as they say, because you have put your faith and your trust in him. And you allow God to use you even during the hard times, even during when times weren't so good. But you remain faithful. You remain confident. You remain reliant on him. And he pull you through. Now you got something to shout about. You got something to tell folk about. Say, I don't care what y'all say. As the song say, God's word will never pass away. That's why I picked that song. Regardless of what folks say, it don't matter. You can say, I know what God has done for me. I know where God has brought me from. I know what God has done for me in this life. Therefore, I'm not going to turn away from him. Because like Peter said, when Jesus said, y'all going to go away too? After, you know, Jesus had said some hard things, and the Bible said many who followed him turned away. Peter said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You got the words to eternal life. Peter had seen it. He had seen Jesus in action. Well, guess what? That's his testimony. He saw Jesus in action. Guess what? You see the Lord in action in your life. You remain faithful. And you can tell folks, I don't know about you. You can go wherever you want to go. I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here with the Lord. Amen. Enoch had a testimony. What's the testimony? Evidence in support of a fact. You know God. You say, I got evidence. I got receipts on what God done for me. Do you have receipts this morning? Oh, you've been, say, child, I did this on my own. This is my house. I worked hard every day. I did 40 years on that job. And so they're saying, the Lord blessed me with this. God allowed me to get up and go to work. God allowed me to scrape up and save up a few nickels to have this, what I got. And it's all his. And guess what? When you realize it's all his, you don't mind sharing. Amen. Why folks are so what's the word I'm looking for? Selfish, yeah. Why folks are so selfish? Because I did it. I did it. Instead of saying, this is what the Lord has blessed me with. Amen. So when God blessed me with something, you don't mind sharing. See, that's your testimony. Enoch had one. He had a testimony because he saw how God had blessed him, and he had this intimate relationship with God. He had walked with God on a daily basis. He had first-hand information. He said, I saw it with my own eyes. First-hand. And then Enoch gives us the keys. He gives us the keys to pleasing God. Look what he says in verse number 6. But without faith, without this confidence, without this assurance, without this reliance in God, what, Enoch? It's impossible to please. You can't please God without having confidence that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And how do we show that we believe this? Our actions will tell. Even though, let me just give you an example. Even though you may not have all that you would like to have, but you share with what you got. Because God going to provide. Remember old Abraham, later on in Faith Hall of Fame. Old Abraham, he knew God was going to provide. Oh, him and Isaac going up to worship God in the mountain. And Isaac said, Daddy, I see the fire. Daddy, I see the wood. That's good. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham said, Lord, come provide. See, Abraham had confidence. Oh, now I hope you get this here. Abraham had confidence that God going to keep his word. What was God's word to Abraham? Through this boy who you about to kill, I'm going to bless all families on earth. Now, some must be saying, wait a minute, God, time out. Hold the phone for a second. You say you're going to bless all families on earth, and then me in particular, through this boy who you just told me to kill. Makes no sense. But Abraham didn't do that. The Bible tells Abraham put the boy on the altar. Abraham raised up the knife and finished killing the boy. Abraham had confidence that God says, this boy who I'm about to kill is going to bless. Through him, all families of the earth going to be blessed. One way or another, either God going to provide a lamb to take this boy's place, or if I kill this boy, God going to raise him up. That's confidence in God. That you'll be willing to even sacrifice your own son. That's confidence. God going to keep his word. God told me to do it. I'm going to do it. No questions asked. When you do that, Enoch says, that's pleasing God. When you have this confidence, no matter what, I'm going to do what God said. I got this assurance. I got this faith in him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, God rewards those that keep his word. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, God rewards those that keep his word. You have to be in his family. You have to obey his word. You have to be a member of his kingdom in order for God to reward you. He says, those that come to God must believe. Watch this right here. You must believe. Believe what? God is who he said he is, and God will do what he said he's going to do. We must, watch this right here. He said, he's rewarded them that diligently, watch this here, diligently seek him. That means we strenuously, we're doing everything within our being. Amen. To serve God. Cut no corners. Sometimes, yeah, child gonna take all that. Yeah, Bible class, yeah, good, yeah, no problem. Study my Bible, no, that's all right. I do a little bit, yeah. No. You know, when I was courting, as they say, every opportunity I had to be with Sister Brenda, I was there. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You did the same thing. How come every opportunity we have to serve God, to study his word, to be amongst his people, to fellowship, to try to reach out to those, we leave that to somebody else? That shows your love. When you really want to be with somebody, you're going to be at every chance you get. In God's affairs, it's the same way. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really want to obey his word? Do you really want to be a servant of Jesus Christ? So let's wrap this all up. Enoch, he lived by faith. That's right. He lived by this trust, this belief, this confidence that God's going to do what God said he's going to do. Amen. He had the type of relationship the way he... It was an intimate one that the Bible says he walked with God. Are you walking with God today? Do you have that one-on-one relationship like Enoch had, like Adam and Eve had with God in the beginning? They walked together. And the Bible teaches Amos 3 and 3, how can two agree? How can two walk together except they agree? Do you have that agreement, how can I say the word? That agreement with God, that Lord, I trust you. You're going to keep your word. Therefore, I'm going to do what you say. That's an agreement. God going to do his part. You do what he says. Enoch was and he was not. We as Christians, folk ought to see Jesus in us every day that we live. They ought to see it. It shouldn't be no doubt about it. They should see it in the way we walk and the way we talk. I never get my sister Jackie, you know, those who've been around a while, you know what Sister Jackie, she passed about 20-something years ago. But one thing Jackie did, folk always said, you just act like the, I mean, what church you go to? I mean, if they didn't know how to phrase it, what church you go to? I want to see what they teaching you. Because of the way, she didn't go around quoting the scriptures, but she just had that nice, calm, quiet spirit. And people saw it. And I'll never forget, several of her teachers came here to Highland Heights because of her. To worship. Now, I don't know if any of them got, became members, got baptized, but I do know they came. So the seed is planted. That's all you can do is plant the seed. The Bible says God get one good increase. We gotta have that type of a spirit about us that folks say it's something different about you. That you walking with God and folk can see that. He had a testimony. Enoch had this testimony because he walked with God. And he said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please him. Without this confidence, without this assurance, without this totally and complete reliance on God, you can't please him. And we must have that. In spite of all that's going on around us, trust God. In spite of all the craziness, put your confidence in him. Do you hear today? You're not a Christian. You need to be. You need to have this faith that Enoch had. The faith that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. God sent Jesus to this earth and Jesus came to this earth and he lived among men. He showed us how to live. The Bible says he went about doing good. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to walk. He showed us how to talk. He showed us how to treat folk. That's something we really need to look at today, y'all. Just how we treat folk. Jesus showed us how to do it. Put other people before yourself. This society teaches just the opposite. But Jesus taught that. They talked about him. They to the point where they set out a plot to kill him. And they did. They did. They took him before the Roman authorities, lied on him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They talked, but they beat him. They tortured him. Hung him out on that old tree on the hill called Calvary. For 6 hours, he hung out there for you and for me. He gave up the ghost out there on that old cross. They took him down and put him in the ground. But after 3 days, his father raised him up with all power in his hands. He told his disciples, I want you to go into all the world and tell this love story. Because that's what it is. It's a love story. A love affair between God and his man. He said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. He said, he that believeth and is baptized, he said, shall be saved. Don't you want to be saved this morning? You're not a Christian. You need to be. You need to be a part of God's family. And the only way, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, the only way you can enter into a relationship with God, to be a part of his family, you have to go through baptism. I know a lot of folks saying there ain't nothing in the water. Ain't nothing in the water. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27 said, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of us as been baptized into Christ. That's the only way you can get in Christ.
Amen.
That's it. That's plain and simple to me. Baptized into Christ. That's the only way you can get in him. You know, I know men say ain't nothing in the water. Like the old, some of y'all done heard this before, but the old preacher's story was, how does a brown cow eat green grass? Y'all done heard that.
Yeah.
Give white milk. But the old preacher come back and say, I don't know. I just would drink the milk. And when necessary, I'm going to eat some of that steak. Bottom line. That's the type of faith we got to have. I don't know. How does God do what he do? That ain't for me to know sometimes. Some things are not for me to know. Bible teaches us to reveal things for us. The secret things for God. Yeah. I don't see nothing in the water. I don't see nothing in there too. But I know what the book says in there. See, when you go down into that water, you contact the blood of Jesus. I know maybe denomination preachers have been saying this. Maybe you never first time hearing this. You contact the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us and the water washes our sins away. Not only that, but the spirit is in that water too. You contact his spirit Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses, and also says the Holy Spirit, who God give to those that obey him. If you haven't obeyed God by going down into the water to be baptized for the remission of your sin, you don't have God's Spirit. And the scripture teaches, he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. Oh, you need to be. So we don't know when this old world going to come on down. We don't know when the Lord is going to come back. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. You need to be a part of his kingdom. You need to be in his family. Why did you do that? You got to hear that old gospel story I just told you. I told you how he lived, how he died, how he suffered for us, how he gave up his life blood for us. You got to believe it with all your heart. Got to be willing to repent. Repent means change. As my uncle used to say, Uncle Hippie said, that's God's stoplight. It is. It's God's stop. You stop what you're doing that you know ain't right.
Amen.
And then you turn around and start doing that which you know is right according to the scripture by faith. Then you confess Jesus is the Christ. Go down with him in baptism for remission of sin. The Lord will add you to his church, and he only has one. Only one you can read about in the Bible, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ are the proper interpretation is congregations of Christ. Salute you. So when we say we're members of the church of Christ, we're simply saying we're a member of the church that belongs to Christ. Not some denomination that man started, but the one that the apostles preached about in that first century. Peter preached that first gospel sermon, and the Lord added to the church, Acts 2:47, those that were being saved. So if you're here today, you're a Christian. Maybe you haven't been living as you should. Maybe you haven't had that confidence, that assurance, that reliance on God, that faith like Enoch. Sit right there where you are. Say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Help me to have the confidence, the reliance, the assurance that you're going to do for me what I need done in my life. And help me to walk out on that faith. Repent right there where you sit and say, Lord, I'm going to do better. I walk out these doors today. I'm a changed person. I'm going to do better. You know, we ain't never going to get it 100% right. Sometimes we feel as though, oh, child, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it in because I just keep messing up. Jesus knew that.
Yes.
That's why the Bible said if any man sin, we got an advocate with the Father. There you go, the man Christ Jesus. He know you ain't gonna be perfect. Just every time you fall, just get up. Get up. Don't lay down there like the old pig and wallow in the mud. Get up. Say, Lord, help me. I don't fail again. And check this out. Anybody in here say that they don't sin? You know what the book says about you, right? You was a liar. Everybody sin. Everybody mess up. Nobody has a reason to point a finger at nobody. We all mess up every day. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that lawyer we have. And you want that lawyer. Because guess what? When that day of judgment, when we stand before God, you want Jesus to be your lawyer. You want Jesus to say, Father, that's one of mine. So when God looks at us, or look towards us, I say it that way, we want to be hid by Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That song, Hide Me, Old Rock of Ages? Yeah. That's where you want Jesus to hide you. And you hide right behind him. He said, I got you covered. Think about the image of that, the picture. And I'm going to hush. The picture of that. Not in Texas, but say out in California. They have the big old rocks on the shore of the sea. And how those big, big waves come and they crash against the rocks. And if you don't want to get just deluged with all that water, you just get behind that rock and all that water just go right over you.
Yeah.
Oh, you missed it. You missed your chance to shout right there, y'all. See, that's Jesus, that big rock. So when the waves come and they crashing up against that rock, you just hiding behind Jesus. And that's your protection.
Amen.
If you're here today, please come. Please come so we stand and sing a verse of a song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fountain of love from the source above. And fountain free, will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain.